Now more than ever. Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price. You want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Price match applies to same item. Current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at Lowe's.com/lowest price guarantee.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Classification, overclassification, revelations of secrets or non-secrets these last weeks, much in the news. The conduct of an airman yet to be determined has introduced again the question, open question for many years, I learned. Does the U.S. government overclassify, endlessly classify, making the job of being the U.S. government more and more difficult year to year? I welcome Henry Sokolsky, the executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. You will recall that Henry and I have discussed a document produced by the NPEC in these last weeks about overclassification prior to the revelations about these secrets being spread around the internet by a bad actor. But here we have the U.S. Senate organizing a response to the assumption that overclassification is damaging the national security of the United States. Henry apprises me that there are now two bills in the Senate. One bill advanced by Senator Cornyn of Texas, one bill advanced by Senator Warner of Texas, both bills signed on by both sides. In other words, this is a bipartisan affair. One bill is entitled the Sensible Classification Act of 2023. The other bill is entitled the Classification Reform Act of 2023. These are parallel bills to be worked out in the fashion of the Senate. I note, however, that the body of the bills is not wildly dissimilar. We're looking at creating an apparatus that can judge documents to be overclassified or out of date, like a use-by date in a grocery store. And I welcome Henry to help me interpret this sudden burst of bipartisanship in the Senate. Henry, it looks like a good thing. It looks like they're going to address the matter. It also looks like we're looking at the creation of a new government agency. How to regard this sudden Senate concern? Good evening to you.
Good evening. I don't sense they're creating a new agency, but yeah, offices and will be created for sure. Why now? Well, I think the staff on these intelligence committees, a few of them, have been chafing for some time. I know I've been holding classified workshops on overclassification, and they have been coming and have been coming now for 36 months. So their interest in trying to sort things out is not immediate so much as they see this embarrassing scandal of released documents by this 21-year-old reservist as the opportunity to strike, that the iron finally is warm enough to melt some new policy. I think the Democrats realize that, you know, they have to do something about this embarrassment, and the Republicans similarly are eager to both tighten the screws on things that ought to be kept secret and, you know, get out of the business of classifying, you know, things that shouldn't be, or classifying them at too high of a level. So all of a sudden, people with election certificates have got into what, you know, I was described yesterday at an event I held with Senator Warner and Senator Rounds from the Armed Services and Intelligence Committee. We held it on the Hill. And a member of the Public Interest Declassification Board, Benjamin Powell, they all described what was going on as the beginning of the beginning and long overdue.
Senator Warner's quote, given the explosion in digital records, the status quo is no longer tenable. We've got too many people with access to a system that is devoid of accountability and has grown increasingly Byzantine, bureaucratic, and outmoded. We need to protect our national security secrets and then declassify those secrets when protections are no longer necessary. It's time for Congress to take action and establish accountability. Senator Cornyn, in his quote, these bills would modernize the process for classification, ensure the safety and security of what should be classified, and make the declassification process more efficient as we seek to strike the delicate balance between transparency and secrecy. What are their concerns, Henry? What does it come down to? What can go wrong and why?
Well, there are lots of things, and you and I have talked about it over the last month or so. But I think there are two basic concerns, and each bill is anchored to one of them. Concern number one is, and, you know, we got to batten the hatches, I mean, and turn the screws and take, you know, clearances away from people. I'm saying this with a bit of tone because my hunch is it might be a bit of theater.
Do I remember correctly that there's more than a million people with some kind of access to secrets?
Well, now the number they're throwing around is 4 million. I don't exactly know who's included, but a million's enough to begin with. 4 million's four times more than enough. And you're right, there are too many clearances. So, but you know how things work. When you start tightening the screws, there are going to be people who are going to be prevented from doing their work. You have to do this. So one part is vetting who has a clearance to make sure they deserve a clearance, and more important, that they have a need to know to look at documents because this airman, this 21-year-old, it clearly did not have a need to know or have need to have access to all the things he had access to. So that automatic vetting system is going to get totally redone, and I suspect we're in for a little bit of bureaucratic friction in getting anything done as a result of that, but it's necessary. So that will be one concern that will be addressed by the Cornyn provisions. The other concern is that in a system where you've got 4 million people with clearances, there's a sort of a demand signal to read something classified, and therefore a willingness to classify a lot of things to give these people something classified to read. And the net is we overdo it, and we don't declassify or lower the classifications such that our military can't, cooperate with companies that innovate that might keep us ahead of our adversaries. They can't share the information properly with allies who we have to fight with in distant locations. And the overclassification prevents the Hill from doing its constitutional obligation to oversee any of these programs. To give you an example, there are 1,700 special access programs in the Space Force that the Space Force has to deal with. 1,700. Those things mean that only a handful of people can see one of those at a time. So the left hand will not know what the right hand is doing. That all needs to be addressed, and that's what the Warner bill sees as its set of objectives.
You remind me of a conversation about the Space Force and classifications, and I think I don't have the names to mind, but I think the anecdote came to this. Why haven't we reduced the Space Force classification rules in more completely, though we've been working on it? I can tell you, but we're going to have to do it in a classified setting. What we have here is something that leads you to believe that that well-meaning people in the government over many administrations have lost control of this. Do the senators in response understand that there's going to be doubt that they're the ones to step in unless something dramatic happens? In other words, creating more offices isn't going to answer the question.
Well, I think you're on to something, and I think at some level they understand that. They do. We talked about it yesterday at our meeting on Capitol Hill. The problem is that there'll still be a tremendous penalty for releasing or declassifying or lowering classification incorrectly. And so there's going to be a bureaucratic cultural instinct still not to take any risks in lowering classifications.
Let me translate that, Henry, because you've been in government, I haven't. That means there's no penalty if you classify something. You're just being cautious. But there's huge right. penalty, including losing your classification and unemployment yeah. and being exiled if you declassify yeah. something that's vital. Is that correct?
That's right. And in fairness, the senators did say that's a problem we need to work on. How we're going to do that, I don't know. I think in addition, there are just so many people with so many clearances. The idea that you're going to take them all away quickly, good luck. It's going to take a couple of weeks. I think in addition,
just in detail, Henry, my memory is that that classification can be worth money, even if you're no longer in government, correct? There's advantage here.
Oh, tremendous amounts. In fact, a lot of people think that, well, I haven't been paid very much compared to my private sector counterparts doing contract work. But once I leave government, I can be one of them if I hold on to my clearances. So not only that, but if you're a young person, you can, you know, double, triple your salary as soon as you get a code word clearance. And so and of course, if you're a contractor, you want to bid on a project that's, you know, very expensive and it has lots of code word, you want to have as many clearances for your employees as you can get. So, you know, the system we're going to have to go through a withdrawal period, even if the rules are tightened up. You're dealing with a serious overclassification alcoholic here.
So what we're dealing with then is really not classification. We're dealing with a market. A market has been created by the U.S. government, unwittingly perhaps, and that market yes. is going to resist change.
Well, it'll be a challenge. But the good news is there has been some success. And the NGA, which is the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, and I learned yesterday, the National Reconnaissance Office and the State Department have quietly recognized that overclassification is a disaster for them, that it will put them out of business and behind the eight ball, and have taken steps to actually reduce and clarify the number of rules so that you can actually declassify and lower classifications and classify by looking at a guidebook. Right now, let's say the U.S. Army, it has 400 guidebooks. No one's going to look at all those, and they don't. What these agencies have done have reduced it down to roughly one or two. You have a fighting chance. They're also beginning to automate or play with tools that could automate the initial scrub of a document so that you could figure out what to look at in these guidebooks. There is reason to believe that the agencies that matter the most understand that if they keep behaving and operating the way they have, they're not going to be able to do their work, and they're not going to achieve their objectives. And now Congress has got the message, and I believe there may be oversight. I learned yesterday that the House now has stood up a task force to look at the problem of declassification and classification. So all of this is brand new and welcome.
Henry Sikorski is the executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. His document about overclassification is available on his site. It's for public use. It's not classified. We're going to turn to something that is completely behind the fog of war, a story that Henry and I have been following for months. The alarm bells are ringing so routinely now, nobody's hearing them. Zaporizhia, the largest nuclear power plant in all of Europe, now in the hands of pirates. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.